So we're very fortunate that Hashapriya Prabhu has come here to give us his association, and he's disciple of Srila Prabhupada, but also of Srila Guru Maharaj, Srila Gurudev, a member of that elite group I call the trifecta, which means Prabhupada, Guru Maharaj, and Gurudev. And that won't increase that group.
Right.
And he, his wife, Sharanangi, son Vidur, very dear to Srila Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj. And our history goes back. We're sometimes, while we're meeting, discussing that. Remember being in Los Angeles, and here's our so-called Samkirtan leader, and which was there, and I was just thinking about this too. There were, at one point, I remember Sanatani was in charge of the women's Sankirtan party. Uh-huh. There were 35 women on the party, and there was another 25 men on the men's party, and then all together, this all had to be arranged on a daily basis.
23 people every day went to the Los Angeles airport.
There you go. And sometimes Vaishnava Maharaj, Shruta Swarupa, driving them in the van, preaching to them on the way there. Divya Shakti was there, she remembers that. And
Dikshavati
and Sarvabhavana Prabhu, like a lot of the community was there, the seeds of what later became San Jose, SoCal.
Yeah.
And and December, hundreds going out, right, to different places. And
100 Santa Clauses every weekend. We dress up as Santa Claus, go to the stores with a bucket, and ask for donations, give out Back to Godhead
magazines.
Or a piece of incense. And then they'd be lined up outside the L.A. Temple on Saturday and Sunday. Santa Clauses, as far as you could see.
And that one month, to see that it could be done, Rameshwar Maharaj arranged for, and this is not an exaggeration, 1 million back to Godheads to be distributed.
Right.
A million. And actually not a full month, like in a, from December 12th to the 23rd, based that weekend, whatever it is, to the 23rd.
Right.
So incredible things that, with Srila Prabhupada in the background, because you think, where does all this success come from? Just reading in the Charitamritam, the section about Balabhacharya, because Avadhut Maharaj was just in Gujarat, and also he went to Nathdwar. That's not Gujarat, Nathdwar is what is it, Rajasthan? Yeah, in Rajasthan. And that's where Srinathji is, the Gopal, and has some connection with Balabhacharya, his sons, Rupa Goswami, transferring the Seva Puja to them. But we had a little discussion about this conversation, because Balabhacharya, I won't go into details of that now, but he wanted some to enter Mahaprabhu's group with a little prestige, scholarly prestige, sort of like impress everybody with his learning. And Mahaprabhu teased him in various ways. But one of the interesting things, it's a famous quote that we use in preaching, but I realize it comes from the mouth of Balabhacharya. He is praising Mahaprabhu, and what does he say? Kali Kaler Dharma, Krishna Nam Sankirtan, Krishna Shakti Bina Nahe Tarapartan. He's saying, actually, unless you've got Krishna Shakti behind you, what you're doing, it would be impossible. Mm-hmm. So I know who you are. It's his way of giving recognition to the divinity of Mahaprabhu. So when we think about when we were younger and we're in our teens or early 20s and became disciples of Prabhupada, but then these extraordinary, miraculous events took place in terms of the expansion of the movement and the temples, the distribution of the books, and you'd really have to, if you told Prabhupada, really it's your the reason for all of this. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada, he would say, I'm just blindly trying to follow my Guru Maharaj. My Guru Maharaj wanted me to preach Krishna consciousness in the West. I don't know what the results are. I'm blindly following that order. He would very humbly defer that it all goes to the order of Srila Saraswati Thakur. Mm-hmm. He gave this order, and it was the wish of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and back to Mahaprabhu. And this isn't just a story that we tell, it's the truth. And it's a beautiful truth. And it shows many things, but one of the things I think it shows is that for those who were less than perfect, mm-hmm. that we could be used by Krishna's agents to do something good, and good for ourselves and for others. Even Prabhupada would say that sometimes, that the people are coming and they say, when they would see their son or daughter engaged 24 hours a day in seva, to the point of, like, you know, nodding out, standing up on your feet, chanting japa, kind of exhausted. And they would say, we couldn't get them to do anything at home. And now they're like, they don't have time from what they're doing to spend 5 minutes with us. Right. So it was, and I thought, but how our representation left something to be desired. Mm-hmm. In terms of, there was what Prabhupada was giving and quoting from the very beginning, all the Sanskrit slokas, the Goswami's book, the Charitamritam, the Bhagavatam, from day one. Because sometimes, he spoke very simply. Yes, but he also gave classes on the Bhagavatam, right. Chaitanya Charitamritam. And our attempts to reproduce that were flawed in many ways, but somehow, because in the background was this divine power, mm-hmm. it went through the flawed agents, right. his disciples, and people got something. Right. And they really got something. They became surcharged mm-hmm. with some spiritual energy and
empowered
Krishna Shakti, like he says, that empowerment. And then they joined. Mm-hmm. And it was our good fortune to do that as well. And then in time, in the absence of Prabhupada, as like orphaned children, we're seeking direction and guidance. And Prabhupada, again, perfectly said, after me, when the necessity is there to consult with higher authority, approach Srila Sridhar Maharaj. I consider him to be my Shiksha Guru. What to speak of the benefit you can have from his association. So we went to, not in a whimsical way, but with Prabhupada's giving the direction, we went to take shelter of Srila Guru Maharaj. It's not like we were just going around whimsically searching for an alternative. No such thing. It was a very serious and spiritually life-altering option and choice to make. And so that Prabhupada indicated the lotus feet of Srila Guru Maharaj. We went there and couldn't be happier and more satisfied. And in the beginning, I used to sort of always, like, whatever Guru Maharaj said, I sort of think, yeah, well, Prabhupada, yeah, I'd like make it match, mm-hmm. use Prabhupada as the reference. And I realized in time that I should stop doing that. Mm-hmm. It was a little bit inappropriate of me to like keep certifying him that way. Right. And I thought, why don't you, whatever it is you think you know, why don't you shelve that for a while and just listen to him exclusively, mm-hmm. and then you'll be in a better position to go through what you think you have and what you should keep, and maybe some of those things should be eliminated. So happily, we all took shelter of the lotus feet of Srila Guru Maharaj, and in time, Srila Guru Maharaj indicated that that Srila Govinda Maharaj not just succeeded him, but I was telling this to Hasha Priya Prabhu earlier today, and my last meeting with Guru Maharaj, he was saying that he wanted the devotees to, because Srila Govinda Maharaj was in the background keeping his position somewhat suppressed in favor of Guru Maharaj. But Guru Maharaj is saying, now you will get to know him, and you will also become acquainted with his original wealth. Mm-hmm. Not that, as we sometimes said, for almost like propaganda purposes. He's the combination of Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. He's got Guru Maharaj's ontology and poetic skills, and Swami Maharaj's pragmatism and big picture for preaching. And that was useful up to a point, but in some instances, it made us overlook Srila Gurudev's own self, his own wealth, and the original things he could give. Mm-hmm. And so that came out in time. And this I'll conclude and turn to him. And we saw, as Srila Gurudev came out of India and went around the world, this I was thinking about too, he visited many different places. And it's all wonderful. He went to Russia many times. He liked St. Petersburg and Lhasa. He went to Australia. He went to Latin America. But you can correct me if I'm wrong. The only place I know where he stayed, not only visited several times, but stayed for like 6 months or more, was Soquel at the Seva Ashram.
10 times he visited.
Yes, but I remember this one time, and she was there where it was 6 months and beyond, maybe the last visit.
Not the last one.
Or it's the next to the last. Yeah. So that in itself said something about how comfortable he felt there and how happy he was with the community. And this, I want to say, when he did suffer, have to go to the hospital, and he was even thinking it might be that time where he would be withdrawing his divine presence from the world. And he's in the hospital, and you remember he said, I want to go to the ashram. I don't want to be
right,
here.
In the hospital.
Yeah, for if this sort of thing is going to happen. And he got, and they Pusta Krishna Prabhu signed all the papers.
Right.
He did like the fast track exit. And Gurudev went back to the ashram and his room there. And it was a very grave situation. Everyone was really looking pitiful and sorrowful, and Gurudev with, you know, the situation. I was wondering, when is this going to break, this kind of mood? And then someone came forward for initiation, and Gurudev, his whole mood changed, and he said, oh, they still want service from me. And I thought, that's what he's thinking. If my service is no longer required, it may not my health, that was secondary saying, if no more service for me, then why would they keep me here?
Right.
But
right.
When the person came forward for initiation, that's when he said, oh, they still want service for me. His mood got better. He asked for something, and it was a beautiful moment.
Right.
So,
and that time that Gurudev came for 6 months, he had talked about it many years, that he would like to come and spend 6 months. And of course, we were thinking, wow, that would be so fantastic. But, you know, his busy schedule, traveling around the world, meeting with so many devotees in so many places, never allowed him to have that time. And then when he came that time, and his plan was to spend 6 months. And I said to him, Maharaj, this is like our dream come true. And he said, it's my dream come true also.
Yes.
So very, very affectionate. And as you were saying, Maharaj, about that certain quality of Govinda Maharaj that came out, and that quality, one of those super qualities was his affectionate nature. And everybody who met him had that experience. There was nobody that missed that. And didn't matter if it was a child or an old person or a new initiate or a dog, it didn't matter. Govinda Maharaj gave them real affection, and it touched our hearts. It really touched our hearts to see that, to feel that. And I have this verse that I wanted to read. It's from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and it's from Lord Brahma. And this is after Brahma stole the cowherd boys and the calves, and he's trying to apologize to Krishna, you know.
These are really the prayers of Brahma.
Right.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, where has become his rightful claim. And Prabhupada talks in the purport to this verse about how, you know, there's that famous quote from Woody Allen, you know, success is showing up, right? 80% of success is just showing up. And so Prabhupada talks about that in Krishna consciousness, is just to continue in our Krishna conscious life, that we have it's like someone who has an inheritance. The father is going to pass away, and the son is going to inherit the wealth of the father. What does the son have to do? He just has to stay alive.
Yeah.
He just has to be there. And so Prabhupada compares it also to Krishna consciousness. What do we have to do? We just have to stay alive in Krishna consciousness. And what does that mean? It means this assembly of devotees, hearing and chanting and worshiping the deity. Every time I come, I'm amazed at the beauty of Sri Giriraj Govardhan and, of course, the beauty of the ashram. And that's our, the very simple life that we have, but it, you know, we're hearing from our teachers, from our acharyas, that there's some guarantee that if we just stick it out and try to progress, try to be a little bit better, then success is guaranteed. And what is that, you know, living together as devotees? You know, it's difficult. It's a difficult environment because of our ego. Our ego, we want to think that we know everything. We want to think that we know what's best for ourselves. And there's also the tendency to put others down, to promote ourselves. All these things that, you know, we've become aware of maybe intellectually through hearing the scriptures and hearing the teachings of our acharyas, but maybe we're not feeling it in our heart. So to live in the association devotees and to be humble and tolerant and respectful for one another, this is our life, and this is what we have to do for success. It's not out there someplace else. It's not some manipulating the environment here to make it better. If this person was only a little bit more respectful, or you know that, or it's something in our inside of ourselves. Some change that we have to try to make inside of ourselves to be respectful to others, and then live in a harmonious way and execute devotional service under the guidance of a superior Vaishnava, and it will all come to us. That's what we've heard. That's our hope. That's our the guarantee that we're giving. And it's a very hopeful guarantee. It's very, we can't imagine how great fortune that we have. What did we do to deserve this? Obviously, nothing. It was some causeless mercy of the pure devotees. We're talking about Srila Prabhupada, Srila Guru Maharaj, Srila Govinda Maharaj. And I also want to say, when you were speaking about, you know, after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance and how, you know, there was some serious attempt to get guidance. Well, I can say for myself, it wasn't serious at all. It was like random kindness, you know, that came to me through Goswami Maharaj, through the publication of of Guru Maharaj's lectures and the books, Sri Guru and His Grace. And I think that, you know, I've never felt that I, you know, when I started getting the association of Srila Prabhupada and his and devotees, I never felt like I knew what I was doing. I never felt that, you know, that I had like analyzed who was a good guru, who was, I had no idea what was going on. But by Prabhupada's mercy, hearing his reading his books and hearing his lectures, I could understand, something touched my heart. And so I think that, you know, for all of us, there's the mercy of the devotees that is in our lives, and it's helping us daily. And it may not be some miracle where the heavens part and, you know, that type of event, but it is a miracle because our hearts are touched by it. And this is the real strength that we can give one another by helping one another in an affectionate way and receiving that help in an affectionate way. And so I'm very happy to always come here to Chiang Mai and be with all the devotees here. And Madhusudan Maharaj is here at this time, of course, Goswami Maharaj, Avadhut Maharaj, and all Bhakti Lalita and all the other devotees, that we kind of see each other from time to time in different places. And I feel very, very at home here. Jai.
Do any of the devotees have any questions they'd like to ask? Or?
Pavan Prabhu asks, your last...
Okay, I'm getting old. My hearing is bad.
Pavan Prabhu asks, your last impressions about the last visit to India, to Parikrama.
Uh-huh. You know, India on the surface is crazy, and underneath is beautiful. And...
That's a great answer.
And this year, I was able to go to Govardhan for Govardhan Puja. Madhusudan Maharaj was there. Many of the devotees were there. And then in Vrindavan, we went on mini parikrams. You know, can handle like a two-hour parikram. By Madhusudan Maharaj's grace, by Mangal Maharaj's grace, and so who knows what is going on? Who knows when we take the dust of Vrindavan or the dust of Navadvipa on our head? Who knows what is happening to us? But we know that something great and wonderful is happening, and some purification is taking place, and if we can be humble and respectful in the Holy Dham, then some benefit will come to us. And this is something that is part of our culture, part of our spiritual culture, our spiritual heritage, our spiritual activities is visiting the holy places and getting some purification from that visit, whether we understand what's going on or not. So, and then also I had an opportunity to go to Navadvip and see Srila Acharya Maharaj, and his health is greatly improved, and the situation is always difficult, but we were talking today about how the situation has always been difficult from, we in hear stories when Srila Guru Maharaj was trying to be ousted by his own brahmacharis. And so difficult, you know, we're not looking for a peaceful life. We're looking for Krishna consciousness, for something substantial. And whether that is in a peaceful environment or is in a fearful environment, really, we don't take that into consideration.
Sometimes Guru Maharaj would say, a little lightly, but he'd say, like, Mahaprabhu had to leave Navadvip.
Right.
And because the Puri people will go like, Bengalis, they didn't appreciate him.
Right.
So he came to Orissa, where we understand Mahaprabhu. You know, there's always that
right.
local, and Guru Maharaj, so, and he was, but like smiling, he said, Navadvip he rejected, and Puri he collected. So he's saying, you know, like there was opposition,
right.
the Nimai Pandit.
Right.
So he says, there's opposition in Krishna Leela. What are all these pastimes about?
Right, killing
Krishna,
demons.
These demons, come, they're interfering with Krishna's pastimes.
Right.
So he
right.
said, and then even Sahajya Sampradayas, mm-hmm. right? And so Guru Maharaj said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the opposition is there to nourish the pastimes. It creates some dramatic tension
right.
and makes us think, well, what's the real thing?
Right, right.
Because we can become complacent.
Right.
That's one of our dangers, is complacency.
Right.
So this makes you think, all right, what's real? What is real and substantial? And as you said, what is superficial and just an endless distraction?
Right.
Then you have to, like we're talking about, what is the real wealth of Chaitanya Saraswat
right.
Mat? But the original wealth given by Srila Guru Maharaj, as promoted by Srila Gurudev, this is this extraordinary thing that has always distinguished the Mat. With all the overlap and similarities, and we appreciate all of them,
mm-hmm.
still, what makes it unique was this unique wealth of Srila Guru Maharaj.
Right, right.
And that's why Prabhupada, Madhava Maharaj, Ban Maharaj, and all the other great Maharajas of the Gaudiya Math came to stay with Srila Guru Maharaj
mm-hmm.
and get his association. And, you know, Madhava Maharaj, one of his, like, light... compliment, he said, you make a great advisor to a king, but not a great king. Because he's saying, like, king's got to do a lot. And he said, but you're the best advisor to a king. And Guru Maharaj would laugh and say, yeah, and as Chanakya, when they once asked him, don't you want to be like, you're advising the king of India, but no desire in you to be king. No, he said, the advisor to the king is in a higher position. And they came one day and they saw Chanakya is wearing a crown of cow dung, just to sort of mock the whole thing. But Guru Maharaj liked that idea
right.
that the Brahmin advisor, which is what he was for
right.
everyone, it's a superior position. You can be the king and do the
right.
the practical work. But anyway, the point being that all of these things we see, in summary, they have their necessity.
Right.
So, you know, thesis, antithesis, synthesis. Srila Prabhupada Swami comes out of a fragmented Gaudiya Math.
Mm-hmm.
And so is Chaitanya Saraswat Math and so many other wonderful things. So then
mm-hmm.
we say, well, the inconceivable will of Krishna.
Right.
You know, and Gurudev would sometimes be resigned to that, except
right.
he would say, Krishna's wills, plural, the wills of Krishna.
And, you know, in my own life, you know, I feel very fortunate for all the disturbances that have come to me, because, you know, I manage in Soquel, or at least I try to manage, and, you know, it's nonstop. Disturbances. It's not, you know, 24/7, you know, people knocking on my door, calling me, and something breaking in the middle of the night, it's pouring rain out, the water pump
yeah.
breaks. So, but really, you know, it's really an inspiration to take shelter of the Holy Name and to take shelter of our devotional practices, because without those, then, you know, those waves of disturbance will just knock us over. And so some strength comes through Gurudev when we apply ourselves to following these practices and some ability. And we know the prayers of Lord of Queen Kunti, mm-hmm. how she, the Pandavas and Queen Kunti and Draupadi, so much anxiety and distress for so many years. And then they won the war, and you know, there was some kind of peace, and then Queen Kunti was lamenting, you know, but you know, I want those distressful
adverse
times, those
yeah,
because it we thought of you and you came to us, and so there's something there, something real in Krishna consciousness that is beyond what we see, is beyond the mundane environment, and that's why we all came. We came for that. We're looking for that. Where is it? And so Krishna is very merciful, and so he gives us situations where we have to look deeper. And if we're fortunate, then we can do that. And also with the mercy and help of the other devotees, because sometimes, you know, it's just too much, and a kind word from somebody, you know, gives us renewed life. And so I feel very fortunate for those disturbances. Next week, yeah, when I'm back in Soquel, I might be singing a different tune.
Right. But even on that, again, in the song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's saying that the disturbance or inconvenience, what all those sort of things, the adversity that accompanies seva, of course, he's saying, it's a source of joy to me when all is said and done, mm-hmm. because again, it pushes the devotee to realizing the necessity of taking shelter. Like,
right.
I can't handle this
right.
as I am,
right.
so die to live.
Right.
I've got to go deeper, be more reliant
right.
on Guru and Vaishnav, some divine grace. So, in retrospect, maybe not at the time,
right.
smiling about it, but in retrospect, right. we think, oh, that was good.
Right.
We had to go deeper. And Krishna's pastimes, again, they're filled with adversity
right.
that caused the devotees, like we just celebrated Govardhan Puja.
Right, right.
And what is it, Guru Maharaj, say in summary, is that they're all approaching the Brijbasis, including the cows and cows, and saying, by listening to you,
right.
we're in trouble.
Right.
Because by following you, we're going against the current of the world. That's the point. The current of the world, which is so easy to get swept into.
Mm-hmm.
We're being assaulted by that every day of our lives.
Right.
You know, and particularly in the modern world with all the media, inescapable forms of media. So there's this strong current of the world, and when you're pursuing Krishna conception, that means we're hearing what Krishna says, whether in Bhagavad Gita or otherwise, and through his agents, the devotees, and we're deciding to go in that direction. But that is not this current, and it's going against the current.
Right.
So you can expect to
some
get
reaction.
Knocked around,
right.
But that will cause you to, what Guru Maharaj sees as being an advantage, to be in a position of genuine need.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we see Bhaktivinoda in his Sharanagati. Sometimes it starts Anukulyasya Sankalpa Pratikulyasya. But in his song, he starts Doinya Atmani Vedan Goptitle Bharani. The first thing he starts with is Doinya, which means, it can mean various things, but one meaning can be hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
Hopeless, helpless. What was the word Gurudev used that was misunderstood? He's about desperate.
Desperate, right.
You know, like that.
Right.
Desperate, hopeless. And what does that lead to? You know, die to live, offering yourself.
Right.
And if you offer yourself, something must come to you.
Right.
That's Guru Maharaj's proposition. That and recognizing that our faith is tiny, is small, but he's saying whatever it is, gather it together, cast it toward the infinite, and he said, and prepare yourself what will come.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he gave one interesting example was the I don't want to say anything political, so I'll give half of it. But he said, like, you know, what's the bird's name? Titika, the little bird who wants her eggs from the ocean. The ocean is like taking her eggs out of the sand and like, ha ha, you're nothing, you know. And then the bird like prays and Garuda comes. And when Garuda comes, the ocean is all afraid and bowing to Garuda and overwhelmed. And he said, so Guru Maharaj is using an example, the very small position, that's like the devotee. But in the background, I'll just say, the example he gave was Israel and America. He said, so this little tiny country, but in the background, there's another country saying like, we've got your back. So what he was saying, but be that as it may, it's just an example. It has nothing to do with any political thing. But then he related it to Garuda and that bird, because it's a famous Puranic legend. So he's saying, no matter how small you are and how unfair the odds may seem to be,
right,
you've got this sort of divine backing if you remain sincere and faithful and needful. Mm-hmm. You can expect help,
right?
And that's how actually everything goes on.
Yeah.
But one thing I remember though is previously you were keeping bees,
right,
and honey, mm-hmm, and very nice honey and jars with a nice label on, right, it and Sevashram. And there was a time when you like have the collection and say the first honey,
or, right,
and Gurudev was there, and this was like a joyous celebration,
right, right,
you know, and you had a whole team assisting you and everything, and then the jars were there, and it's going, you know, the first is going to be offered, this Srila Gurudev. And you're happy, everybody's smiling. And Gurudev says, like, he's not so happy.
Right, right.
And yeah. I'm like, uh-oh. You know, like, this doesn't seem right. Like, Maharaj, he's the most tactful person. But he's like, he's also a great actor and, right, reader of an audience. Right. Like, he's taking it, he wants to shock everybody to get their attention. He's not happy.
Right.
Well, I'm like, Maharaj, you know, like, how should we have been working?
Our hearts are breaking.
He's been working on this for a long time. You know? And everyone, their faces go from smiles to like turn upside down. They're all like, what's wrong? And maybe some people are thinking, who is this Hashapriya?
And let him in the door.
Yeah, what has he done? You know, and Gurudev said, and I go like, why? And he said, I am thinking of Guru Maharaj's sloka. And he used to chide me at different times because I haven't learned it. And to this day, it's only by his grace that I can learn it. But because he'd say, Maharaj, don't you know that one? Like, you know, this one you don't know? He would say sometimes it's his favorite sloka, uh-huh, of all the ones Guru Maharaj composed. And it comes at the end of the Prapanna-jivanamrita. And it begins, Sri Srimad Bhagavat Padambuja Madhotsavai Shatpade Nikipta Madhubindavashta Parito. I forget the rest. Forgive me, Guru Nirvan. Anyway, it's the first line he was referring to, where Guru Maharaj is saying in the book that these great devotees, Sharanagatas, surrendered souls, they're relishing like this honey, like shatpade means six legs, mm-hmm, and that's a poetic euphemism for bees, uh-huh, comparing the devotees for bees. They're relishing, madly relishing this honey from the lotus feet of the Lord and on the topics of surrender and everything. And in their mad relishing of this nectarine substance, it's such a frenzy that there are drops that are coming from their lotus mouths. And I'm capturing those. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm presenting to you. So he said, so I'm feeling, you know, some sadness for the bees,
right,
that you've taken from them. And really, but then you explained, actually, that they have their...
We leave them their portion.
They have their portion. And so in a sense, you can say, this is the remnants.
Right.
But he used that to express his appreciation for Guru Maharaj's verse, and it shows how He can employ like surprise, shock, delight, a little element of humor,
right.
And at the same time give you exposure to some essential spiritual principle that you must grasp,
right.
All rolled into one.
Right.
So that was a memorable moment.
Well, on the subject of bees, we've had a lot of difficulties in America with bees.
Oh, right.
And so we lost all of our hives eventually. And I was kind of discouraged and thought, well, what should I do now? And because the situation hasn't improved, so why get more hives? And then last year, one of our hives came back. And it's doing great. So
it was meant to be, no pun intended.
So out of our hands, but you know, we're trying to take care of them again.
Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna. Any other question from anyone?
Are those bees Russian or Italian?
Excuse me?
What nationality are those
bees? Are these bees? These are Americans. I don't know. We used to get Italian bees and Russian bees. You know, where they're from. That's what they're called by the bee sellers.
Well, honey.
They don't come with like a passport or anything,
right.
So we don't know
or
for sure.
Or pedigree.
Right.
But honey is very appreciated much by the Russian people.
Yeah.
I think we can safe to say. And Vijayaraman Prabhu has friends who are beekeepers, and he's always giving some nice honey. And Gurudev, again, you know, he identifies certain things by the name of that devotee.
Uh-huh.
So when he would want this honey, he would just say, Vijayaraman. Bring me Vijayaraman. And that means he's going to take a little bit of honey.
Uh-huh.
Like Boro Plus was Chidananda.
Why did Gurudev give you such name?
Why did Gurudev give me the name Hashipriya?
Yes.
That name came from Srila Prabhupada. He gave me that name. I received initiation from Srila Prabhupada in 1972. Gave that name. And Hasya is a name of Krishna in his laughing, smiling form. And Priya means someone who's dear to that expression of Krishna, and Das, of course, the servant of that. And why Prabhupada gave me that name, I don't know.
Because it does not resemble your legal name.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, yeah, there is a story there.
Oh.
Generally, that's the sound of your name, right?
Like
the beginning.
Ha, ga,
right.
Kaka, ga, ga, na.
Right. So my legal name is. My last name is Hawk, and so I was a hippie living in Santa Cruz Mountains, and everyone called me that by my last name.
Ha, there's where the ha comes
in. But when I joined the temple in Los Angeles, they were have nothing to do with Hawk. So it became Hamsa.
Oh. Swan.
Like, right. So then when Srila Prabhupada gave me initiation, they submitted my name as Hamsa. So then
that's really interesting. But I remember on this subject too, with connecting at the Gurudev, we're in London. And at the time Gurudev's preparing to go leave London and go, I think, California, then Venezuela. There was some route.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the day where he is like sitting on his bed, and he told me, he said, Maharaj, you can't imagine how happy I was in Bamanpur, you know, in my, and what's that other town?
Nadangat,
you know, like how happy my former life was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying, just as a prelude, normally when people tell about how they came in connection with Krishna consciousness, they tell some very, you know, a horrible story mm-hmm. about how their life, you know, was not going well,
right,
or
right.
many falling apart or failure or that kind of story we're very familiar with. It's very, I can't think of another person who told me how great everything was. And but he's sitting there and he's saying, my life was so wonderful there. And that's what he said. He said, I loved everyone and everyone loved me.
Right.
He said, and I loved even the rickshaw wallas. But he didn't see. He said, like, I loved everyone. He said, the trees, the plants, the animals, even the rickshaw wallas. Like, they were below that. And he said, and they loved me. And he said, and then Guru Maharaj's representative came to my village. He said, preaching this nonsense. Your mother is nothing, your father is nothing, this world is nothing, you'll have to leave it and give it all up. But he said, preaching this nonsense. Then he said, but I couldn't deny in my heart the truth of what he was saying. Uh-huh. It like struck this sympathetic chord. And of course, the rest is history right. about how he goes with that devotee and they swim across the Ganga and right. back to the mod and everything. But related, you know, so we're getting news about, you know, they're saying, and these devotees are expecting at this time, and Hashapriya, he's sent a message about this or that. And then they keep circulating these different, and it's starting to, like, maybe be confusing, or he's heard enough. And they said Hashapriya, they kept saying Hashapriya, and he said, Hashapriya, Krandan Priya. And he said, like, he's making a determination.
Uh-huh.
But what was funny about, because as you say, hasya means laughter.
Right.
Krandan means crying.
Uh-huh.
So he said, whether it's hasya priya or krandan priya, like crying priya. Because that's a Bengali thing. They go like, or any other priya. You know?
Actually, Govind Maharaj asked me that same question about my name.
Yeah.
Well, why not, like, Rig Veda or something? Because Rick.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Rick Dananda. Yeah.
So I had to explain that story to him also.
Hasya Rasa. It's one of the seven subordinate besides the five.
How come that you became the temple president?
How did you become temple president in Soquel?
Yes.
Well, technically I'm not the president, I'm the manager. So
remember, Janardhan Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Pavan Janardhan Maharaj is the acharya.
And he's
and
president.
De facto president.
So how it came about was when we purchased the property, Srila Govinda Maharaj came. We had a fire sacrifice. He organized a fire sacrifice with Junard Maharaj and Sagar Maharaj and many of the devotees, and a big celebration. And while that fire sacrifice was going on, then Govinda Maharaj kind of left and was sitting in the sun and just kind of, and I went over and was talking to him. And then at that time he said, Janardhan Maharaj, he can take care of all the spiritual necessities of devotees and you can take care of everything else. And so that was Gurudev.
Manage the whole property and the seva necessity.
Yeah, so Gurudev gave me that service and then...
Really, right from then?
Right from the first day.
Wow.
And then, tried to do
and
something.
And Janardhan Maharaj is very happy with this arrangement.
Yeah.
At last.
And throughout the years, Govinda Maharaj, you know, would reiterate that was the service he wanted me to do. And at one point, there was some disturbances. You know, like we're saying, there's always some disturbances. And my wife went and spoke with Govinda Maharaj about it. He was visiting, and he said, it's my desire that you and Hashapriya never leave the ashram. So that gave us some concrete.
It's like Ketra Sannyas.
So we tried to. But really, it's by Gurudev's mercy that we're able to do anything there. Because there's so many devotees who, in their heart, have affection for Govinda Maharaj, have affection for Srila Guru Maharaj, have affection for Srila Prabhupada, have affection for all the current acharyas. And that, you know, that affectionate feeling that they have, they want to serve. They want to make that ashram successful and keep it successful. And so really that is Gurudev's mercy, because they're feeling that that from their heart by Gurudev's mercy.
And he was saying earlier, Bahulavan Prabhu, he's a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. On the basis of what he felt in his heart, he built the Pushpa Samadhi for Srila right. Govinda Maharaj.
Yeah. Beautiful offering. And when Srila Govinda Maharaj was present in his physical form, and he mentioned to me one time when we were in Calcutta, he said, when I die, I want to come back as a ghost and sit underneath that tree in Soquel where the children play. And I thought it was kind of a strange way of saying anything, but I thought, oh, Govinda Maharaj is just being so affectionate. He's always thinking of Soquel, you know, and so, and I never thought, you know, that that was some instruction, you know. And then after Govinda Maharaj left, and we were thinking, how can we make some special place in Soquel for remembering Srila Govinda Maharaj? And then that conversation came back, and I remembered that, and I thought, oh, well, Govinda Maharaj already told us what to do and where to do it.
Yeah.
And then when we started working in that area, we realized this is like the most beautiful spot on the whole ashram. And we never was there, you know. And Govinda Maharaj would see that spot through his door, and he'd see the children playing there on like a little hillside. And it was just very kind of a magical, transcendental situation. All the devotees in Soquel came together under Bahulavan's direction. He's a master builder. And, you know, we mix the concrete, and he'd say, do it here, and we'd do it there. And then, of course, we'd do it wrong, and he'd have to take it apart, and we'd have to do it again. But under his direction, all the devotees in Soquel participated. And so it was done without any labor, hired labor. It was all done by volunteer devotees. And it was a expression of their, you know, their affection for Govinda Maharaj, and it was very, very wonderful to be in that association. It took us 4 months to do that, and what manifested, you know, we know that it wasn't from some just pencil and piece of paper. It was something from
the heart,
something from the heart, and some something divine, you know,
that descended
that beauty and the environment. And it's just a very wonderful place. And now when devotees come to visit Soquel and they go to the Pushpa Samadhi, they're always expressing to us how they really feel Govinda Maharaj's presence there. And and it's a place where they can go and just be with Govinda Maharaj themselves, or sometimes we have big programs, but it provides an environment for both type of association with Govinda Maharaj. Sometimes one young girl, she was visiting, her mother was visiting. You know, the girl's like, I don't know, 8, 9 years old. And she kind of was shy and, you know, not really. And then we noticed she was up at the samadhi dancing. Dancing in front of Gurudev. We're like amazed. So, it's very beautiful.
I kind of remember something about
little Giriraj Mandir somewhere in the hills Gurudev was mentioning. Did you ever hear him talk about that?
Yeah, it's still in the planning stages. But so Govinda Maharaj came to Soquel many times, and one time he was there and he said, in general, he said this, we should have a path all the way up the hill. It's like a 200, 250 feet up, 80 meters or something like that. Mm-hmm. And from the top of the hill, you can see the ocean, a beautiful view up there.
I mean, it would almost qualify as a mountain.
Yeah.
Or a very large hill.
Yeah. 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 And so, because at that time, Gurudev would go out in his scooter, and, you know, there we had paths and roads.
Via Govinda.
Well, Via Govinda wasn't built. That was
was
what he was asking,
uh-huh,
for some path to go, so he could go up there.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the devotees could go up there. And so then I didn't say anything. I was like hoping somebody else was going to volunteer. And it went on for days, and Govinda Maharaj kept bringing it up. And finally, I was like so embarrassed. I said, oh, Maharaj, I'll take care of it. We'll work on it. And then, you know, it was a huge project. It was 800 feet long. What is that? That's in meters. That's
200, almost 300 meters.
300 meters long. And it's up the hill, right? It's like...
goes like that. Yeah.
What do they call it? Switchbacks up the hill. And sandstone, you know, not hard stone, but not dirt. And so it all had to be done by hand. We couldn't do machines up there. And so I went to the store and I bought like 20 pickaxes and 20 shovels. And I said, okay, you know, now we're going to do it.
Chain gang.
And that's exactly what it was. It was like, you know, 15 devotees lined up with pickaxes, you know. And, you know, there's the story of the Ramayana of building the...
bridge to Lanka.
The bridge to Lanka. Yeah. And there's the spiders.
The squirrels.
And the, you know, and the big monkeys, they get out of the way, you know.
Yeah.
So there was one big devotee, you know, and then there was the one little kid, you know, that was like, had his pickaxe, and he was like barely, you know, like able to pick it up. And that big devotee comes out, get out of the way, you know, let me do that. It's just like the Ramayana. And then I gave him another pickaxe and sent him, put him someplace else, but he was happy. But that's what it was like. And it all was done.
And he did go up there in his scooter.
In 4 days, the whole thing was built.
Yeah.
By hand.
Wow.
And it was all leveled, so his scooter would go up.
Right.
And yeah, every day from then on, he would go up there.
But what about the Giriraj?
Okay, so then all this effort, we made the Via Govinda. We asked Govinda Maharaj if we could give that name to that road, Via Govinda. And we put up a road sign. And then, so we get to the top, and now Govinda Maharaj says, now that you're here, now you can build a mandir for Giriraj. For 200 people to come.
So that's on your bucket list?
That's right, that's on our list of...
yeah, things I gotta do.
Right.
But that's good. Remember, Govinda Kunda, Guru Maharaj wanted that for Mahabhu. Gurudev wanted it, couldn't do it, and Srila Acharya Maharaj did it after so many years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually exciting that it's still there, and it's a living order,
yeah,
a standing order,
standing order, we used
to call it.
Yeah. And also when we presented the plan.
You can recruit others who want to realize that.
Right. And then we had, over the years, we've developed these plans for developing the ashram. And Govinda Maharaj was very much a part of that planning process and giving his, you know, bringing me to architects, bringing me to engineers, telling me how wide the veranda should be. I was telling Madhusudan Maharaj, told me what, how tall the steps should be, his
favorite
step.
He was involved in all of that.
Six inches high, 12 inches.
And deep. How many steps?
And that was like an easy step. He liked that step, you know?
Yes.
And Govinda Maharaj was very much involved. And so one of the things he asked for was, can there be a kund in this plan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Actually, he said it in a very, very humble way. He came back from Brazil, where there was lots of kunds and ponds. And he said, can't we just have one pond in SoCal? of course, we immediately put in a kund in the plan. And then with the temple for Giriraj, and Govinda Maharaj gave the name Shri Giriraj Raj Kund for that. So we have two temples of Giriraj in the planning stages.
Hare Krishna.
Fedora's generation, the young battalion.
Yeah.
And Vidura Krishna was now 35 years old.
Right.
I was once saying in the presence of Sudarshan, I was explaining to someone else about the first generation of Gurukulikas, and I was saying, you know, they really deserve a lot of sympathy and support.
Right.
I'm saying the ones who came later, you know, born in the 80s and stuff, but I was talking about the first generation, and then I forgot. Sudarshan is one of those children. He and his sister, he kind of looked at me like,
can I have a little sympathy?
Because they were the pioneers.
Yeah.
And now they're Vidura's, the young battalion. And Gurudev himself was a young battalion leader, you know, from the age of 17. And when those godbrothers were surprised at Imlitala, they couldn't decipher Guru Maharaj's sloka about when Mahaprabhu came there. And it's Ratneshu Vidanite, there's a system. Ratna can mean 5 or 9, and Veda can mean 4 or 3, and Ishu means this, and it becomes 954, and then you turn around backwards, so it becomes 459.
But
anyway, so they're astonished how he can give this sort of interpretation. And he quotes the Bengali saying that, you know, I may be a baby cobra, but a baby cobra has venom that can kill you. So there's like a full-grown cobra, but you have and even on the Animal Channel, you can check this. Any of you, I heard it's after a very short time that they become venomous.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not on day one, but it's within a short time that even a baby cobra is lethal. And that's what he was saying. I may be young, but I'm lethal. You know, I'm trained by Guru Maharaj.
Right.
I've got something. You know? So that group, Gurudev always praising them and including in his will and for the future. And, you know, Yuda always likes to quote JFK saying, you know, the torch has been passed to a new generation. that time comes where the old, because there's the old guard and the vanguard and the rear guard and every other guard.
Right.
But they will be called upon in time to come to the fore as their Gurudev. That Srila Govinda Maharaj is always in the background doing the service necessities of the mod, arranging all the service for Guru Maharaj, whatever problems there were, and you mentioned there are many, taking them on his head so they don't have to go to the head of Guru. Let Guru Maharaj keep composing the slokas, the astakams, the Prema Dhamma Stotram. You know, Prema Dhamma Stotram started off as 3, 4, 5 verses. And then Gurudev said, he told Gurudev, maybe it'll be an astakam, 8.
Mm-hmm.
Then they got up there. Then it was like, you know, dasakam is 10. Mm-hmm. And dvadasakam, 12. But then it just kept going on, uh-huh. you know, and it ended up, it's almost 70 or so. And a whole thing. But how is Guru Maharaj able to do that? With Gurudev moving right. downstairs, right. taking all the headaches there are associated with managing
right.
upon himself, and never allowing that to go to Guru Maharaj, so he can go on, and same time assisting him. Sometimes Guru Maharaj is searching for a word mm-hmm. in his verse, and Gurudev supplying that or making suggestions. But the other thing is just keeping to himself,
right.
so that Guru Maharaj won't be disturbed.
Right.
And that's an identifiable quality that Rupa Goswami says of Lalita Sakhi. Mm-hmm. That's her right. seva. Right. No disturbance goes there. I take care of all of that.
Right.
And so I see this connection between Gurudev and her and right. his expressed appreciation for Uchagaon, Lalita Bar, and that, because he personifies some of those qualities that Rupa Goswami identifies mm-hmm. as being her unique traits and characteristics. Uh-huh. But that said, there's a transfer that takes place where each generation has to make its contribution. You know, and like Prabhupada, he would goad the American boys and girls. And I remember him saying this one when in Manhattan, the what was it, West 54th Street or 57th or wherever mm-hmm. it was, that building, which was his skyscraper right. he always wanted. And at one point he said, you are Americans. He said, so you must do something big for Krishna. He said, otherwise, what is the use of being an American? Like, so he said, like, okay, we have to do something extraordinary. Saying, I'm not going to let you rest. Like, so, same thing. You go, Srila Govinda Maharaj, praise these younger, yeah. your son and others, not limited to him, but others. Then if you're going to get that praise, then also something's going to be,
right.
more will be expected
right.
from you.
Right.
And I think they're poised to do that in the future. And even now, but particularly in the future. And as we were talking about before, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the truth is inevitably, invariably converted into error. This is in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna to Arjuna, referencing Karma Yoga and Vivashvan. Krishna to Uddhava. It's his parting instructions as mm-hmm. he's leaving the world. It gives it even more significance. Uh-huh. Last thing he's telling Uddhava before he goes into the upper world. And the two key words Guru Maharaj said are paramparjana and prakriti vaichitra. And prakriti vaichitra means individual temperament. So he's saying, the truth was one, and he's giving a particular example, Brahma to his sons, disciples, followers. But according to individual temperament, and this is a common sense thing, mm-hmm. everyone hears a little differently.
Right.
Like there's an overlap on things we agree on. Still, you ask a group of devotees, they'll give you you say, well, what did you observe of Srila Govinda Maharaj in SoCal?
Right.
Someone else may tell similar stories from another angle
right,
vision.
Right, right.
And we celebrate that too.
Right.
It's like the Baladev sloka about Rupa and Sanatan, was it Govinda Bidamandara Sidapitam Hastasti Ratnadivat, saying they've got Govinda in the palm of their hand like a jewel, and as they rotate the jewel, there's a flash this way, someone else flash that uh-huh. way. They're showing different aspects of that jewel as they rotate it in their palm.
Uh-huh.
Sanatan one way, Rupa another way. So that's the good part, is there can be varied appreciations
right.
from the different perspective of faithful, sincere servitors. The cautionary note is that it can start moving away from what the truth was.
Mm-hmm.
So Goswami Maharaj, Bhakti Saranga Goswami Maharaj, used to say, mentioned that what is called simha Bilochan, the way the lion move, the lion, they move and they look, and then they move a little bit and they look, and he's saying, we come to Srila Sridharmaraj to get like adjusted. Mm-hmm. And then we go back into our own field, but we keep looking back to him to see if I'm still in line, in sync, calibrated.
Right.
And the caution is there in Gita and Krishna to Uddhava that in time it can devolve into not just something else or a slightly modified version, but it can even become its antithesis is possible.
Right.
And Guru Maharaj reminded us that when he said, you know, an institution is formed to promote an ideal, right? And so absent the ideal, then what is it? It's right. it's a shell of what it was. So these things are there to remind us to be vigilant, to not be complacent, to be faithful, and to that genuine substance. And in Sri Guruna's grace, where Guru Maharaj is saying, you know, and the aftermath of the disappearance of Guru, he said, then we will find out what kind of disciple you are.
Right.
In name, you're a disciple, or in fact. Mm-hmm. And he takes it to the extreme, saying, the whole world may desert me and everyone, but I will remain. You have to have that spirit.
Right.
I'll remain true to this.
Right.
But Bhaktivinoda says, in fact, and on the same theme, truth inevitably converted into error. I think, well, gee, that's depressing. That's not encouraging, or it's a pessimistic view. No, the second half of that, he said, therefore, fresh revelation, new revelation is necessary to restore the truth to its former purity.
Right.
So within that means that the, I don't want to say, responsibility would be better, of each generation to make their contribution, to remain faithful, to fight off complacency and deviation and undue modification, I think, remain truthful and to keep it fresh and alive.
Right.
We talked about this earlier. It's not that you can just make a document and like those before us didn't know this.
Right.
Or they didn't write it the right way, or it wasn't the right policy or system. It's not like that. It has to be kept alive, fresh. And that's what Bhaktivinoda was saying. So that recognize that it can go off, or it's likely to, but that will mean new revelation, fresh understanding, something alive and vital will be necessary to restore it to its former purity.
Right.
And that's our experience.
Right.
Our experience is true to that description.
Right.
So our part of our responsibility is to translate these things to the next generation. And there are hopeful signs there, too. Hare Krishna. Right. You want to sing Prabhu Hari Harai?
Hari Harai Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan.
Gada Gada Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda,
Gada Gada Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda,
Jaya Rupa Sanatana Bhatta Raguna.
Jaya Vishnu Paramahansa Parivraja Kacharya Satyarsa Sri Srimad Shrila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki
Jai.
Jaya Vishnupad Shrila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki
Jai. Jai.
Bhagavan Shrila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai.
Jai.
Jai Saparikar Sri Sri Guru Guranga Gandharvika Giridhari Jiu Ki Jai.
Jai.
Sri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai.
Jai.
Sri Rupa Anuga Guru Varga Ki Jai.
Jai.
Rupsana Ramana Swarup Ramananda Ki Jai,
Jai.
Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai,
Jai.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gau Bhaktavrinda Ki Jai,
Jai.
Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai,
Jai.
Vrindavandam Ki Jai,
Jai.
Navadeep Dham Ki Jai,
Jai.
Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Ki Jai,
Jai.
Sri Gupta Govardhan Ki Jai,
Jai.
Ganga Devi Jamuna Devi Bhakti Devi Tosi Devi Ki Jai,
Jai.
Om Vishnupad Vishvavarena Srila Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai,
Jai.
Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Acharya Brinda Ki Jai,
Jai.
Jai Srila Bhakti Vimala Avadhut Maharaj Ki Jai,
Jai.
Jai Srila Bhakti Ranjan Madhusudan Maharaj Ki Jai,
Jai.
Jai Sriman Hashapriya Prabhu Ki Jai,
Jai.
Seva Brinda Ki Jai,
Jai.
Samaveda Bhakta Brinda Ki Jai, Jai. Nitai Gopremanande
Jai.
Jai.
Jai.